I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. Sarah's back.
Yay.
Hi. And I was laughing listening back to the episode because you guys thought I'd had a few drinks when I sent my voice note. I hadn't had one singular drink. I was just sat on my own. And I was like, oh no, I sound drunk. That's my normal personality.
In Scottish accents. It occurred to me, were you doing that because of Erica, one of the new brands?
Absolutely not. I was just doing that because... No.
Was there a reason?
I think when I leave people voice notes, I'm always like, huh? I always just do silly accents. And like, I think Scottish isn't too offensive, especially because mine didn't even sound Scottish. It doesn't offend anyone. Leprechauns.
Did you listen to our episode?
I did, of course I did. I was really excited to listen and just hear your opinions unfiltered through my interruptions. No, it was great. I listened as a true fan rather than a contributor.
Do you feel we missed anything?
No, I don't think you did. I think you had a really good episode just being quite analytical about it all and having a good debate between the two of you. But it was interesting because it was just listening to a married couple talk about their own favourite TV shows. It had a different dynamic, I think.
The dynamic, I think, was I was fucking exhausted. Yeah. So Claire was trying to get my energy up with a bowl of Haribos on that the table.
Oh. Are these the types of conversations married couples have laboured? It's tough. And it's just the two of you.
Yeah, we actually missed you.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Music to my ears.
We're not gonna mess around because I bet you've got a lot to say. So, without further ado, let's make a start. All right. Well, since you weren't here last week, mm-hmm. what do you think of what's gone on? Where do you want to start?
I think fresh in my mind is maybe The Intruders.
Okay.
Because we saw their honeymoons last night. Mm-hmm. And do they just get an upgrade? Because they were in such gorgeous... They were like Antigua and Mauritius.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like it was interesting talking to Sophie the other week because she said if you're an intruder, they promise you a really amazing honeymoon. Do you remember her saying
yeah.
that? It's like a little perk because I think some people might be annoyed that they're an intruder and coming in later. Mm. But anyway, their honeymoons just looked stunning. I am just... Yeah, I wasn't expecting to like Erica and Jordan.
I know. Why is that? I don't know why I was expecting.
Well, they were painted to be a little bit, especially her, just quite picky and like, you know, she'd been through all the good-looking men in Edinburgh and she seemed like she wasn't going to give him a chance because she was saying like, oh, I felt like I took a sleeping pill at the altar.
Yes,
do you remember?
He could be a bit taller.
But I found it quite almost moving last night when he made a big deal of her birthday and from her background that hadn't happened before for her.
Yes.
She'd had a bit of a difficult childhood. And he managed to do something that I don't think he realised how poignant it was to her. And it was really quite sweet.
It was nice,
but he did say, and I'm not trying to take away from it.
No, go on.
but I'm going to. He said, oh, you know, I've planned some things like, oh, yeah, we're going out on a boat and then we're going to have dinner later. It's like, as if you wouldn't be fucking doing that anyway. That's all they do.
I was wondering if it was just the producers.
Yeah, but then actually planned it.
When he produced the, like, cuddly stingray.
Oh, yeah.
There was something quite sweet about it. Also, her reaction was quite telling. I think she was really moved. Anyway, I wasn't expecting much from them. And I just feel like they're very young.
Mm.
And
yes.
He gives me real kid vibes. There's something about his face, his hairdo. Yeah. I don't know. He seems like 17, not even 24, 25. But there was something there. There was something where they were really connecting on.
Yeah. I'm quite pleased for them. I don't know. It's like, it's nice to have your expectations subverted. I would say definite kid vibes in the way he pours Prosecco.
Oh my,
I knew you were going to say that. Not even the pouring of it, the opening of the bottle as well. He was like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he'd never popped a bottle before. Yeah. And then she was like, tell. He's like, there's no more.
I'm going to attribute the title of this episode, which I've not told you to yet. I'm going to call it Tilt the Glass.
Tilt the Glass.
Because it's the second time this year.
It's a running theme.
Tilt the Glass sounds like it's got a philosophy behind it. Like, tilt the glass in your life, like you need to lean in.
Oh, interesting. Oh, she's the guru on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised with them. And then JJ and Bianca is a horror movie. Just because,
in contrast,
you can see, like, to give him credit, he's trying not to offend her, but he's still offending her in every single way.
Yeah.
And then I am on her side 100%. But when she's...
Are you 100% you're on her side?
Well, I was going to say 100% on her side until she said, I can't imagine my life without you. And I nearly fell off my chair.
Yeah, I know.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
She had all the goodwill after the wedding. Because everyone's like, oh, JJ seems a bit of a posery prick, basically. Yeah. And because we sort of started this discussion last night and we didn't carry on because we wanted to watch Ghosts.
Ghosts is back. Yeah. Have you watched it yet?
No.
Come on.
But I totally get the position that he's in of like, and he's doing, in a way, the gentlemanly thing. He's like, I don't fancy you. What do you want? Do you want me to like, there's a certain amount. And she specifically said, I'm not asking for a kiss and all this, but anything that he does is potentially leading her on. And he needs to feel something first, which is difficult for her. And as well as him like taking his time to get there, the pressure she's putting on him, it's like, oh, I can't imagine doing this with anyone else but you now. It's like, really? Because you say you're anxious to even give him a hug.
Yeah, but is she sort of overcompensating for his lack of anything, really? And I think really what she's asking for is a bit of flirting, maybe. You know, a bit of, like, banter. I know you don't like that word.
No, I know. But
something that she can kind of, get into with him. I just think they need to flirt a bit, which he seems quite closed off to.
Well, I tell you what I think. I think that his actions are actually sort of correct because he's not flirting and kissing somebody he doesn't feel anything towards. But I'm annoyed at his standards. Like, she's not meeting his standards of being a Victoria's Secret model. So he's decided he doesn't fancy her, or that's his reaction.
Mm.
So his actions are actually sort of commendable, like you were saying, because he's not leading her on, he's not giving her loads of affection where he doesn't feel it. So I do get that, and in a way, that's better than him just, like, you know, shagging her and pretending.
Well,
it's definitely better than that, in a way. But I'm annoyed just at his standards, and his standards seem completely off. They don't make any sense to me, because he's asking for a supermodel, but he's not a supermodel. I don't understand where.
Well, I'm surprised you're saying this because, as Claire said in our episode, maybe he's just got an amazing personality. And
We haven't seen that. She is gorgeous, and I feel like this poor girl is now, oh, bless her, not only is she being dissed on television but behind the scenes by him to camera, yeah. but now she's coming across as needy just from wanting quite basic things.
Yeah.
But he's not given the basic things because he doesn't feel anything. So it's like nobody's winning here, yeah. and it's just horrible to watch. And I feel like her self-esteem is just going to be in shreds because yeah. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle someone saying, "You're not just not my type." He's like, "You're so far removed from my type." He said, mm-hmm. "You're very, very not my type." And I'm like, she's not Quasimodo. This girl is a yeah. beautiful yeah. girl. I don't understand why he's not seeing.
I would like yeah. to see his ex. This isn't an excuse just for me to look at Victoria's Secret
model. Again.
Just Google Victoria's Secret model.
But it's like, how far off is she? She's like, you know, she's got a decent figure. She's like,
she's beautiful. She's, yeah.
I mean, everyone, like you say, is subjective, I guess. I think she's quite conventionally beautiful in terms of, if I mean, this isn't what we should hold people to, but if you were going to say a conventional standard of beauty is like slim, clear skin, big eyes, she's got I think she's gorgeous. I don't quite see, anyway, that's subjective as well, because
yeah.
anyway, this is a weird conversation because it's horrible nitpicking someone's like attractiveness level. I think she's pretty. I find it really sad the way that he's sort of written her off.
Yeah.
But then the most frustrating thing, I'm back, I'm doing all the talking. The most frustrating thing is he said, I just want someone nice who's family orientated. I've been going after the wrong thing. I just want someone nice. We've heard yeah. that from him a couple yeah. of times. He's been given someone quite nice who's family orientated, seems into him, and he's written her off.
Yeah,
and it's so frustrating.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because you've said this before, I think, and it bothers you when they come into the process and they say, I've tried my usual type, it hasn't worked. And then they kind of close off to whoever is at the altar.
They revert back to type straight away.
That is what he's done.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
But has he... I mean, I realise I'm doing a lot of JJ apologising here. Has he written her off? I mean...
Something if he hasn't written her off.
You were annoyed last night when they were on that boat and she was saying, you know, I need something, some affection, this and that. And he was saying, you know, I need to take my time and you're in danger now of making things worse, ruining things going forward.
He basically just said, well, it's your fault if this doesn't work. That was basically what he said. Mm. And yeah, that did really annoy me because it felt like then he's allowed to say, I can't go too quickly, I can't do this. But she's not allowed to say, well, this is bothering me. Mm-hmm. Because that would ruin the whole thing forever. You know, that was not really very
It's
fair.
Very difficult though, isn't it? Because he doesn't fancy her, rightly or wrongly. he doesn't fancy her, but you can't fabricate like affection and flirting. It's very difficult if it's not there to like be affectionate and tactile with someone that you don't fancy. But if he fakes that, that doesn't make him a genuine, like, I wouldn't want...
No, but I just think, you know, they showed him in that club.
Oh my gosh, I know. Fake club, but it's just fake probably club. Like a producer's garage.
Yeah. So how many times has he just flirted with someone in a club, spoke to someone in a club?
But,
you know, it's
but
like
she's being
not...
But because she's been quite full on now and saying things like, I can't imagine doing it with anyone else.
Yeah.
I can't imagine my life without you. Oh my gosh. I think he's now, oh my word, I cannot give this girl
yeah.
an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think now he's afraid to be flirty because she will obviously take it as a positive sign, as she would. It's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And when they come back on screen, I'm like, oh, go to someone else.
Yeah.
Flick away.
Yeah. And they got caught up very much on the whole, I want a kiss when I wake up. And he was very like, well, what if I can't give you that? What if I can't promise to give you that every day? They seem to get very stuck on that.
If I don't give you that, I don't want it to be an issue.
Yeah, yeah, it's my way or the highway. She's wanting to act married. And she can't understand why they're not. He's like, I've been paired with someone I don't fancy. Mm. How do I get out of this? What do I do? And his dad gave him the mafia chat, so he can't leave.
You can never leave.
Son, don't leave.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I feel like I want to move away from those two. I literally just get the ick of yeah. like the whole situation.
So no rim jobs then. Rim jobs off the cards.
This show comes at you 100 miles an hour. You're at one point you're phoning like Women's Aid to ask for advice on like coercive control. Yeah. One moment you're googling like Antigua resorts, and then the next minute someone's talking about rimming, and you're like, "Oh my word, I'm trying to eat my dinner." It is, but bless them. I really respect Peggy
Right.
Because I think sometimes he puts her in a bit of a tight spot. This is not, no pun intended, where he's like, oh, you've never heard of this, or you don't know what that means. And, oh, you're not, you don't want to do this. Or, and she sticks, you know, and she says, I'm not a prude, but she has principles and she sticks by them. And she, and I, unflinchingly, I quite respect that about her.
Of course, yeah. Mm.
Because I think sometimes he's, I don't think he's trying to belittle her, but sometimes with, you know, if someone says, oh, you don't know what that, it's like being in the playground. Yeah. Oh, you don't know what a blowjob is when you're like seven and you're like, is it blowing? Like, you, like, it's difficult when you're under that almost peer pressure. Of course.
But it is.
It's something that should work both ways. In the same way, he shouldn't be shamed for liking to give and receive ring jobs.
Course,
she shouldn't be if she doesn't want it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, because she was sort of judging him a little bit in her response, because she was a bit horrified. That's true. So in the way that he shouldn't be horrified, she doesn't know, she shouldn't be horrified that he definitely does.
Yeah. He was just taking real glee in it. Would you prefer a tongue in your ear or your anus?
Oh my God,
and then
that.
He was like, I would take the opposite. Yeah. She's like, I'm never doing that. I don't think they're perhaps a very good match in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's becoming clearer, perhaps.
I did enjoy when she said he couldn't wait to get his finger in the box.
And then she realised he's rubbing off on me.
Do you know what? Jumping backwards, maybe he'd be a better match with Bianca, because I forgot to say, Bianca said she's a dark horse, and she's like giggling like he doesn't know what's coming. Mm. Maybe George and Bianca are the like goers.
JJ's massage was not sensual at all. It was like he was washing a car.
He was afraid to show any emotion. But yeah, George and Peggy, it was quite giggly, and it was like, but imagine Charlene coming into your kitchen with a box. Like, I don't think I'd know where to look.
A bit awkward. Remember last year it was Kwame and Keisha, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, and she was just leaning against the fitted wardrobe.
That was she had like the full outfits on camera, and I was like, oh my word.
They went for it, didn't they?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think it's the case of them needing to respect each other. He's maybe more sex open, she's maybe more like establishing what she likes, and it's a certain thing, and they need to sort of meet in the middle, or at least maybe if not, they're not doing it, talk about it a little bit more.
And he did put sex quite high up on his
I think it was number one or number two after like money. Hers was like the last, wasn't it? Maybe he'll bring out a side in her that she'll enjoy, and maybe she'll bring out a side in him that's a little bit more learning to wait and like delayed gratification and getting to know each other. Yeah. So maybe there's something there that...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be tongue in the anus on day one.
You can't take your time, George.
I'm really afraid that's going to be something. Okay.
Other, maybe more wholesome intimacy tasks. Tom and Roz, stargazing.
And
their hug. I wanted their hug to be sat down because it looked quite...
It didn't look right.
It was like a tripod and it was like wobbling. And I was
her arms were sort of under his and up. Like, that's not a good... That's not a melting in hug.
She didn't look... Yeah.
I felt
they
like...
They both said they enjoyed it.
I felt like they took steps forward, but I was a bit disappointed when they finished their stargazing, which sounds so much like stargate / stargazing. And I kept thinking, is that the right word? When they finished their stargate... She congratulated herself on getting through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than making it about them as a couple. And it was it didn't sit quite right with me. Because she was like, oh, aren't you proud of me? I managed that. And I'm like, this is supposed to bring you closer together.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to hug after that or have a little kiss. Mm-hmm. And I was actually saying, I do talk to my TV. I was like, kiss her, kiss him. Someone kiss him. Like, because it looked like they'd got a bit closer. But then it's almost like, right, we've done... It's like a bit robotic. Yeah. We've done the task.
What's next?
But then after the hug, they yeehawed and jumped on each other's back. And that was good. Yeah. That seemed...
Nice bit of... lightness, frivolity.
Definitely. Yeah. And she said, let's go off and have rampant sex. And he laughed. And it felt like they were connecting, because that could have been a really awkward joke given that sex was an issue before.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they've had... Because she said before they started these tasks that it's always zero or 100.
Mm.
It's like there's no intimacy, and then suddenly they go the full... It made me wonder if they've had sex again since, just the way she phrased it.
We'll probably find out on the couch. But I would suspect not.
Mm-hmm.
But because she was so like ashamed and worried and before, I don't know.
But they were comfortable with each other during those intimacy tasks, it felt, didn't it?
It felt like a step in the right direction. But like you always say, Omar, it does become a bit tiresome when they just overanalyze. They're in their heads. You just want them to hold hands and go for a walk along the river. just go for a little walk, holding hands. Like, maybe they're not allowed out of the building. Maybe there's stricter rules. Walk up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
The fire exit. They just need to spend a little time doing something with the pressure off, like just the pressure released a little bit. So then with Nathaniel and Ella, their hug was really quite amazing. He invited her to sit on his lap and like enveloped her in. She had quite a cute little cut-off little jumper on that was like bare back. I just thought it was the most affectionate / sensual they'd ever been. But I still didn't feel like it was going to lead anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he said he's 80% in now compared to the...
No, he said he'd revealed 80% of himself, or she'd seen 80% of his personality. Not that he was 80% in.
Oh, okay.
I think he said, oh, she's seen 80% of me now.
Okay. Compared to zero
compared
last
to,
week.
I think he's always asking her to do all the legwork.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's always saying to her, like, you need to show more of yourself. You need to ask more about me. But he's not meeting her in the middle necessarily. And then saying that, he was like, oh, she's now seen 80% of me. But their hug was lovely. Mm. Their hug was really, really, like, intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, enveloped in together.
They did very well at the stargazing as well, didn't they, actually? Have you tried either of those things with Johnny?
It seems quite tantric, doesn't it, staring at each other? No, we do occasionally hug.
Yeah. Well, we had this discussion last night, didn't we? Like, shall we try the stargazing?
Yeah, we were going to, but then we realised that they had put all episodes of Ghosts in there.
That is the most relatable marriage priorities. Ever. So Nathaniel and Ella, that was a lovely hug. I just don't feel that he's in. And so it stops me having faith that this is moving in the right direction. Even though your eyes are telling you, my heart is saying something different. I don't know.
You're hopeful still, maybe.
I don't know if I am.
Hmm. So there's no hope there. But you still think,
well,
oh, please.
Yeah, no, I'd love them to work out. I'd love them to work out. But And that hug was the closest we've come to seeing something intimate.
They did well at the intimacy tasks.
Yes.
Considering that they've had these ups and downs and quite a lot of arguments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They did very well at the intimacy tasks. But is that going to actually then go somewhere or not? We're sceptical about that, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah, sceptical.
We saw Luke with one arm tied behind his back trying to make tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Jane was impressed by that.
That's one of those things where it could go one of two ways. Like, if it was his idea, she could have found that offensive, but clearly they came to the idea together and she found it really sweet, which was nice.
Yeah.
And I love them. I love that he's all in. I love that they're so sweet and normal together. When we come to them as a couple, I sort of like sit back and just enjoy it because it feels like...
Mm.
There's not too much drama. It's just
How did you feel about his take on Laura?
I know, I thought you might ask me about that. He's not a perfect guy. Like, that wasn't great because I actually really like Laura. Mm-hmm. And I think she advocated for herself really well, being like, that's lazy to just call a woman a gold digger. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't 19... I think you said this isn't 1980. So I do like Laura. I think she came across better in that scenario. He didn't apologise where he should have. Like, taking his relationship with Jay as like its own thing, I think that's going really well. But there's elements of Luke where I think he didn't act in a great way.
No.
In the group scenario.
Yeah.
All it needed was to go, that was my first impression. I've changed it since then, so I'm sorry I said that stuff. But he doesn't apologise because he hasn't changed his opinion.
Yeah, yeah. There's obviously stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. But Laura, I'm warming to her more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And she seems... like, she's, especially when we come on to talk about how she talks to Shona and advocates for her. Mm. So I feel like, I really like Laura. It was uncomfortable seeing the Laura-Luke situation, especially as Laura was on the sofa on her own.
Yes.
Without
and at the dinner party on her own as well.
Yeah.
Arthur, he popped back up.
Oh, yeah, for about hours.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Did we see any more of them?
No, we didn't see their intimacy week, did we? Just him with some flowers.
He probably can't go anywhere near if he's that ill. He was shuffled in with a bouquet of flowers.
On his IV drip.
Yeah.
No, Luke and Jay seems just... like, I would have actually liked to see more from their intimacy week, but maybe we'll see more tonight because we haven't seen from Terrence and Portia, we haven't seen from Paul and Tasha.
I feel like it's a dinner party tonight, isn't it?
It looks like a dinner party, yeah. So maybe we're going to see the other couple's intimacy stuff later in the week.
Or maybe they just didn't give any dirt. Maybe it just wasn't interesting
enough.
You feel like it would be.
Yeah. Especially Terrence and Portia, I guess. Because they've had their...
Hell yeah.
was your mind completely blown by
I was going to say something about spooning needs to be part of their intimacy. That's a lazy dad joke. Arthur emerging with the flowers was cute. Luke taking on that, you know, arm behind his back, it clearly meant something to Jay, mm-hmm. which is really sweet. And he obviously... It was quite sweet how he was like, oh, I've got to use my teeth. Just like, yeah, that's what I do. And they were really bonding over that, weren't they? And him understanding where she's coming from.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, obviously, you weren't here for the beginnings of all the drama with Brad and Shona. You've already alluded to Shona going to visit Laura. What's your take on the Brad Shona situation?
I think you...
I'll allow you to speak.
Oh, thanks, darling. Oh, oh, I saw you did that. And there's me going, oh, thank you so much for the patriarchy. I really liked what you said about he weaponizes wellness. He weaponizes...
Are you very proud of that?
He weaponizes his quote-unquote intelligence. He weaponizes his spirituality. He weaponizes his masculinity. He weaponizes everything at his fingertips. But he doesn't... He really doesn't realize he's doing it, because going back to a previous episode where Mel said, you're allowing her. He's like, yeah, 100%. I am allowing her.
Yeah,
he
didn't.
He thought he was being commended on allowing her to do something when he was actually being pulled up on using that language.
Yes.
He is so far behind where he thinks he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so maddening to watch. So if
his counter to that would be that, you are not as far along in your spiritual journey.
But he recognises his journey. And I don't think he's as far along as he thinks he is. Clearly not.
Yeah.
Like you, what you said on the previous episode was brilliant about that is not being enlightened. That is not meditation. That is not, you know, not being allowed to express your anger, your hurt, your love, whatever. That is not being enlightened.
Yeah, these feelings are normal. These emotions are normal. And the idea, I thought, would be to notice them. And go with them and learn from them.
Celebrate them. But
During the pandemic, I, like many other people, downloaded Headspace and did their free trial. And literally the first three-minute meditation thing is like, you're meant to be aware. You're not meant to, you're meant to acknowledge what's going on.
Not just bury.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just let it move past. Yeah.
It's awareness without judgment.
Yeah.
And he is using it to judge other people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many red flags that he displays, and which we all have noticed. And in a way, I'm grateful for this program. So to reveal a tiny bit about myself, I was in a coercive, like abusive relationship for 5 years when I was like 19 to 24. And I didn't know anything was wrong because I hadn't been taught to watch out for these red flags. So one thing that's great about MAFS, even though it's really upsetting to watch, is I think Gen Z, everyone beneath our age, is so much more aware of all this terminology of like, look out for the red flags and like financial abuse, emotional abuse, coercive control, gaslighting. It's things that we now have in our vernacular, which I am grateful for. And I think you don't want to see Shona get hurt, but it's really interesting to see Brad's behavior be called out by the whole group. Everyone recognizes it's wrong, because the problem is it's often shrouded in like, has he actually done anything wrong? You know, when someone's not, this is going to sound horrible, but when someone's not hitting you, you can excuse everything else because it's not physical abuse. And so for me, that's the problem I had, where I didn't really see what was happening. And it's like boiling a frog. You get in the warm water and it gets hotter and hotter and you don't realize you're being boiled. So I actually cried last night watching it, because him distancing herself from her friends and herself, and it's so horrible to watch it happen. So I do take it very seriously, but at the same time, I'm just like, what a knob. So it's just, and he does weaponize everything at his fingertips.
Well, something last night that he said, when she said, you know, I want to feel safe with you. And he said, that's another insecurity that you have to deal with. Yeah.
That's another insecurity for yours. Again.
It brought up feelings for me, where when you're with your friends or on your own, you can see... You can potentially see what's happening. But when you're back with the person, they take on that superiority and they manage to diminish every sort of worry you have. So he, with Shona, every time she's like, but he has an answer for everything.
Yeah.
And he really believes in his own superiority. And
he does.
And not only that, but he calls it out himself. He's like, well, I'm further along. And I really feel for her. But at the same time, you can see how in his head he can't see he's done anything wrong, yeah, because he hasn't like locked her in the house. He hasn't, you know, yeah, taken away her phone. He has, but that this is the path to that. The red flags, yeah, now of distancing herself from her friends. I was worried when she came back from seeing the girls, he would say something like, oh, but now they're just in your head. They don't respect our relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
So anytime my ex had criticism from my friends or family, he would say, they don't respect our relationship. And that would, it was like, that was the end card of like, so don't bring that up because it's not respect. It was almost like a trump card that you can't argue against. And I feel like Brad has that where he has all these trump cards of spirituality,
exactly,
or superiority, where, yeah, Shona gets shut down every single time.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can see her flailing for, yeah, an answer, but not finding,
well,
one.
Well, his ultimate trump card is the universe, which is how do you argue it? He says,
my goodness.
If I feel there's any kind of friction with any of my partners, I just say, oh, it's not meant to be. The universe has decided, yeah, it's not meant to be, and I walk away. So you don't do any self-reflection?
So he's never accountable, yeah.
Exactly. No. It's not meant to be. It's the universe's fault, i.e. his code, the universe's code for you have insecurities you need to deal with. It's never him that needs to adjust.
He has all these get-out-of-jail cards. Yeah. It's just, he's almost laughable when he talks about the universe and stuff like that.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
It's so ridiculous. So somebody I was talking to the other day said he reminds them a little bit of Russell Brand. When someone's overcome addiction and they have an inflated sense of self of like, I have achieved this, yeah, I found my spiritual self, it's almost like he does that thing of like, I'm better than you because I'm at this place that I've, yeah, reached. And they were like, there's a bit of that Russell Brand like grandstanding.
I've overcome so much, yeah, more than you.
And he literally said, and we mentioned this in the last episode, that she'd never dealt with any hardship. And
she had bulimia.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
But also she just doesn't have any responsibilities. So there's another thing that he's superior.
Just because she has a house and a dog and a job.
About.
Also in terms of hardship, we don't know other things that she might have gone through. You, yeah, don't reveal everything to the TV,
yeah,
crew.
Exactly.
And to say someone hasn't been through any hardship, he's just condescending at every, yeah, single turn. But the red flags are getting bigger.
Yes.
And it's quite troubling to,
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, it is.
And Laura was great. Laura was like, if you allow this behaviour, it will continue. And that's the thing, yeah, that needs to be said,
well,
as a friend.
I think if you allow this behaviour, it'll get worse.
Yeah,
it's not just that it will continue. Get, yeah, she did say that, didn't, yeah, she? It will continue. But actually, it's not
worse.
Just that it will continue. It will escalate
100%
to a point where she very much is isolated and, you know, maybe very much does feel more stuck than she is now.
And it's only been a couple of weeks. It's been like three weeks.
Yeah.
To see it happen at this escalated level,
yeah,
is just like, yeah, mad.
This is probably a good point to say that a few people similar to situation with Nathaniel and Ella have sent us some information.
I've deliberately not looked at.
Yeah.
But there is a spoiler in the heading.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't open it.
Yeah.
There's talk about Brad's future and stuff, but we'll see what happens. We'll just,
exactly,
have to watch it unfold.
Yeah.
But I do think, I want to believe the show takes this sort of like coercive control seriously, and we'll just have to see how it's dealt with and what happens. But I thought Mel was great on the couches last week, and it just went over his head. He's not as clever as he thinks he is, and it's just...
There's a. I said to Claire, there's a sporting term, all the gear, no idea.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this, he's got Adidas Predators, but he's a fucking awful footballer, you know? Like,
yeah, he knows the keywords, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he knows how to deliver those in a way that people kind of...
He's got
put him on a pedestal,
yeah,
a little bit. Like,
Claire, he must know what he's talking about. He's got Hindi tattoos.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, she used the word Jesus, Saviour, all these things,
yeah,
were being,
yeah,
used around him, and it was absolutely mad. The positive was the friends were rallying around her, and it was, and the language is being used of like,
yeah,
people aren't sweeping it under the carpet. And that for me, if we go back to when I was 19, I didn't have a clue. And it's just, I think I find it almost encouraging to see that this behaviour's been called out,
yeah,
more and more and more.
Yeah. And Laura said that, didn't she? He is just a man, you know.
I know.
He is just a person. So they're all picking up on that as well.
I wrote down her exact words. Brad's not some higher being.
Yeah. That was really good. Yeah. Yeah.
So stay tuned for our interview with author and therapist Tasha Bailey. We're going to be talking about the various relationship issues that have come up so far in Maths. And we'll talk to you again on Friday. You can always follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter for live tweeting and on Instagram for other maths content. So until then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Clylin Rabid.
And just have a think, would you prefer a tongue in your ear or your anus?
Oh my God.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back, everybody. And we're joined now by therapist and author of Real Talk, Lessons from Therapy and Healing and Self-Love, Tasha Bailey.
And maths fan.
I'm Aspen.
Hi.
Great to see you.
Good to see you both as well.
So what are your maths credentials then?
So actually I joined the maths crew probably in the last like year or so, but it's been like binging it. So I've watched this season and the last season of the UK one. My favorite is actually the Australian maths,
right?
Like, really, I don't know, it's just, there's so much drama. So I went through a phase of like googling what was the best seasons of maths to watch, and I watched some of those. And I watched one season of the American one, but I'm not so much a fan. It's a different structure, so I don't call it quite like acclimatized to the
Yeah, nobody's really into the American one. So which were the series which were recommended to you? Was it Australia series 6? Cyrell.
Who's Cyrell again?
Cyclone Cyrell and
yes, right. I love that season. And I think the one after that. Which was the one with like, there was like an affair and they were like going to the gym at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes. That was Carolina. Yes. Well, you've done well.
Yeah.
just for the listener, we actually just had a discussion off air how it's really difficult to remember anyone's names, but I think we've done quite well.
Yeah,
done
all
right. It's not even the series we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And you actually, we saw on your Instagram that you went to a maths event the other night.
Yeah, I went last week. I can't remember what day, but it was a maths event at the location where they have the commitment ceremonies and the dinner parties.
Oh wow.
It was really, really cool. And Charlene was there, the expert, and also Shanita and Adrian from last year were there. So there was like drinks and food and like little activities and stuff, like people were trying on wedding dresses and wedding rings. There was like a 360 camera, there was like a confessions booth. Was it a confessions booth or a prediction booth? And then they had like a talk where like Shanita, Charlene and Adrian were just answering questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. And they actually showed us probably like 15 minutes of an episode, which I think is tonight's episode.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. Which is really, it's a lot happening.
it looks dramatic
from the teaser trailer.
We went to the launch event last year and we met Charlene, and she's lovely. She's an amazing woman, but I am always terrified, especially after seeing Intimacy Week, that she's just going to start bringing out boxes of things.
here's some handcuffs, like try them out.
So is there anything you can share from that event? Any insider gossip? Any things we don't get to find out?
So I found it really interesting. They asked each person who their favorite couple is. Mm-hmm. And Adrian said, and I've got to go to my little booklet to remember everyone's names. Adrian actually said Thomas and
Roz.
His favorite couple, because apparently they like grow over time.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I think maybe starting to see the beginnings. yeah. beginnings of that. Well, maybe we should start with them.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask, given your expertise, I think what we're going to try and do is sort of talk about the various issues that have come up in the different relationships. Their issue has been that they just didn't fancy each other at the beginning, and then they rushed it and had sex and didn't feel anything.
Yeah, and then a lot of overthinking, perhaps. Some pressure, especially I think Roz felt under pressure to decide. That kind of, we had a discussion about, I don't know. And she was kind of saying that because I think she felt the pressure to decide whether she liked him or not.
Yeah. I think like one thing that's really important in relationships is to feel safe and to feel like this kind of, I guess like this initial feeling of safety, like I can feel like I can relax in this connection with somebody. But I think because they've both had quite traumatic relationship experiences, they find it really hard to just be safe with each other. And so then the overthinking happens, and then the doing things quite rashly rather than actually just letting, you know, trusting that time and things will kind of grow over time. But I hope, it looks like things are shifting a little bit. I think they both have a lot of insecurities and they're probably like rubbing against each other in that way as well.
They haven't had a lot of like flow, I guess.
Yeah,
they haven't seemed to be very spontaneous with each other, relaxed with each other. Yeah.
How do you stop yourself overthinking? Is there a way to?
I think one thing that they do a lot of, which I think we all do, but in this pressure cooker situation, everyone does, is they're comparing what they have with what other people have. There was that really painful moment. Was it a dinner party last week where Nathaniel was talking about love and how he wants to be in love, and Roz was there and Thomas was there, and I just really felt for Thomas and also for Ella, of just like, oh, okay, so that's the goalpost, but we're nowhere near there. Like, it just is this huge pressure, and like then at least them feeling like I'm not good enough or I don't have enough to meet you in that place. So I think there's something about trying to like, I know it's really hard, but trying to like distance a little bit from having certain expectations. We need to have like certain ingredients in our relationships of what we want in our relationship. We want to feel safe. We want to feel loved. We want to look for taken care of. But don't compare your journey with somebody else's, because that's when you're going to be trapped in this kind of overthinking, we're not there yet, we're not there yet situation. And it's hard on both sides. You know, if you're the couple that's been idolized, it's hard to be idolized. And if you're the couple that's not there, it's hard to then feel like you're failing or something.
And in that situation with the dinner parties and living together in that same like apartment building or whatever, and you've started the process at the exact same time, the comparison must come so easily because there's so many, you're on the same journey in a lot of ways, but it's very different in a lot of other ways.
When you sat there and you're looking across the table at Paul and Tasha, how do you feel like?
Yeah.
Just make you feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
And then you have like in the first week, is it Shona and Brad, and they're just like oozing with all this like sexual chemistry. It's just like, oh, just get a room, please.
Yeah. But also saying they were in love as well. What was your take on that? Being them saying they were in love so early. It was kind of weekend or something, wasn't it?
There's so much love bombing, and it was, you could see, I felt uncomfortable watching it. I could see all the other couples feeling really uncomfortable watching it. And there is something of like, they're kind of latching onto each other quite quickly. And I can understand why. There's certain similarities. Like, even when I first saw them, I was like, oh my God, they're a perfect couple. They're both like on this spiritual journey. And they kind of almost like look alike as well. Like, I don't know, there's something quite similar in like how they dress or how they present. But then it was just like, this overwhelm of, we're in love. And I always find it interesting how people talk about love and how they say, I love you. And they said it in a very kind of, oh yeah, I love you. It's like very flippant. It was very like, it was almost like too casual. Mm. I don't know if that's the thing, but I feel like when you're saying I love you for the first time or for the first couple of weeks, it's kind of got this tenderness and this softness, or maybe even a bit of a shyness about it. And there was none of that. Mm-hmm. So it did feel very much kind of for show, whether it's for show to the other couples or for show for themselves to prove like I am lovable, like I am lovable, I love this person, this is perfect, this is, you know, this perfect experience, when actually now we're seeing that there's a lot more cracks happening.
Absolutely. Just to go back to something you said at the beginning of that answer, because love bombing is a relatively new term to me. I think I've kind of got a grasp on what it is from the context in which people have used it. But what is it, just for the people who don't know?
So love bombing can happen in a relationship or someone you're dating, or even in a friendship or with a family member. And it's when you've met someone that are quite new, and suddenly they're kind of overwhelming you with a lot of love and affection and affirmation. So you might say, oh my God, I love that about you, and I love this about you, and oh my God, you're so amazing, let's spend loads of time together. And they're, you know, they're giving you all of their love in one moment. But I think what then happens is eventually they withdraw. And so it feels really painful, because you felt all of their love, and then suddenly it's all taken away. So yeah, I've had it happen to me with friends, where I've met somebody, a friend, and they've told me they love me. They told me that they want to spend so much time with me. I'm amazing. Let's go for coffee. Let's do this, da, da, da. And then a month later, they're ghosting me. So it can happen in many situations, but it's a very, to receive that, it's very confusing. And it can make you feel so special, so needed, so loved, so taken care of. And then to lose that, you feel really rejected and you feel like you're not good enough. And I think what we're seeing with Shona and Brad is that there was all this love bombing, and then now the criticism's coming in, where it's almost like she's not good enough. You know, it feels like he's had this amazing healed journey, and he's trying to teach her how to be as healed as he is, which, as a therapist, no one is fully healed ever in their lifetime. Like, I just don't believe that.
We've not really spoken. You don't know me so well yet. sorry to interrupt it, but we just actually said the same thing on the first part of the episode. Any issue that comes up, it's because Shona's not as far along in her journey as he is. You know, it's absolute bollocks.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you have any other kind of take on Shona and Brad? Because I suppose I was thinking about, we've seen the love bombing, but we've seen other things as well between them. Mm-hmm. What can viewers sort of learn from that, I guess? And also, where do you think this might go?
Yeah, I think that his use of language is really interesting, like this whole allow her, let her, and it's interesting because he has no awareness of it, which is, again, if you were as far off in your healing journey as you are, you'd be more reflective and more aware of the language that you're using, which he isn't. And yeah, there's this like weird dynamic where it feels like parent and child. But I also feel like with Shona, she does that with a lot of people. So in yesterday's episode, she was met the girls and they're like, we feel like you're losing yourself, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, like, I totally agree. I'm going to go and speak to him, blah, blah, blah. And she goes to speak to him, and then it feels like he's telling her off again. And then she's like, yeah. Like, it was just a really confusing episode, actually. I don't know if it was like the editing was a bit off, but they got nowhere with the conversation. And I feel like because they've been so focused on the intimacy and being in love, they haven't actually created the foundations of like communication and honesty and transparency with each other. Like that whole thing where they agreed that they wouldn't tell the group about their relationship, which I think is a bit of a red flag anyway in this situation, because the whole point is that you're learning together. Mm. But you've agreed to do this thing of not sharing it, and then you've gone out and you've shared intimate sexual details about your relationship. It's just very, how does someone feel safe and feel trust in that relationship when things could be, you know, change at any point, and he gets to choose when the rules change in their relationship. So it feels like she doesn't have much autonomy in that relationship.
Yeah, and she said that, didn't she, in last night's episode, I just don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And he said something like, have I ever used those words? Or
You know, what have I said that hasn't made you feel safe? I haven't done that. And he hasn't heard how she's feeling. And he hasn't thought of more than just his words.
He doesn't quite think about what is he saying and how can that be received by someone. It's kind of like there's no accountability of his actions or
what
he's putting out there.
Yeah, what are my actions communicating to her? He's not reflecting on that either. Maybe he feels he doesn't need to because, you know, his journey is complete, seemingly.
And it was interesting because she ended the conversation by saying, oh, maybe I am emotionally immature.
Immature, yeah.
And that's the words that he said to her a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, and she's now started to believe it and started to take it in as her own rather than to question. Actually, maybe he's not emotionally immature.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it's both of you. You know, it's there's many possibilities.
Mm.
You mentioned Shona being the kind of person who is repeating the same pattern that she has before of just going on full steam with things. Whereas someone like Tasha has protected herself a little bit, despite the fact it's going amazingly well with Paul. She's done, in my opinion, the clever thing of like, I'm not gonna rush things because I know how things have happened before. It was interesting at the dinner party, she totally clocked Brad. You just see her watching him, knowing exactly what he was doing. But how easy is it to break those kind of patterns that Shona's just repeating? Tasha's seemingly managed to break the pattern that she was in, but that must be extraordinarily difficult.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is there's breaking the pattern, but then you're also in the same situation of, I don't know, this person is particularly triggering her to not break her pattern, if that makes sense. You know, she sees him as like this, I don't know. I imagine she sees him as like this god of love. And I don't know. I think one thing that is probably a detriment to her, and I'm hoping she's starting to lean into it more now, is that she was spending so much time with just him, so she never then got another perspective or someone to just like do a bit of a reality check of what's actually happening. And even though it started to happen now, she's still only just like starting to trust what other people are starting to say. So I hope she kind of leans more into other people other than just Brad, but her friendships, and also having alone time. Because it's kind of like when you're meshed with somebody, it can be really hard to remember who you are and what you stand for and what your values are and what your worth is. So I hope she kind of has some alone time, or they have some tasks that can kind of help to center her experience. Because right now it's really centered on him and what he needs in the relationship.
It's good that she's had some time with Laura and things, because last dinner party, she was sat with the girls mingling before the foods that they ate, saying, oh, we've not had any girls time and this and that. And they were like, yeah, let's spend time together. Literally a minute later, she was going, oh, I want to go back and sit with Brad. Very isolating.
Yeah. It's like he's her attachment figure. Like, so when we're kids, we all have, you know, both our parents is our attachment figure. So when we are in the playground and we're playing with loads of kids, if we fall down or if we suddenly feel unsafe or if we feel like, oh, I want a cuddle, we will go around to our parent and stick by them. And it's almost like he is that version. He is that for her. So they're in the playground of the dinner party and she's like, no, I need to latch onto my parent, my Brad. When actually, you know, she's an adult, it's we all have attachment figures, but she could have many different attachment figures in that room. The girls could be an attachment figure as well, and she could feel safe with them. But for something about she feels safe when she feels unsafe when she's with him, but she feels unsafe when she's away from him. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
How do you feel about George?
Oh, George.
He's winning me over. I quite like him.
George, I've never been a fan. I think it's like his initial quite inappropriate comments at the start of, like, I don't know. Yeah, it was giving a bit of misogyny vibes and it was really hard to warm to him. But also I've seen the clip from tonight and I know he's at the centre of a lot of the things.
Right, okay.
So there's a lot of, like, getting involved in places that he shouldn't get involved in. Lots of provoking. And you saw the clip where he's, like, speaking in French.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of, very patronising stuff happening.
Yeah, we're curious to see that, because Claire said that she thought he's doing that just to give the impression that he's really annoyed, but he's actually not annoyed. Like, what's the point of speaking in French? It's like, oh, I'm so annoyed that I've gone
that
into
it's coming out in French.
Yeah. But it just seemed, we'll have to see the full episode, but it seemed a bit false.
Yeah.
I think it's a power play. I think it's like, because the argument is with Portia, and Portia is, you know, quite protective, and she's, you know, she's not going to take any shit. She's going to stand her ground. And so I think he didn't know how else to get one above her other than to cuss her out in French, which he knows that she won't understand, but it's going to have the same effect of, like, you know, piercing her.
Yeah, just like in his vows.
Right.
He started off his vows in French, and I wasn't a fan of that, because I felt it was that, I know you're not going to understand this. So I felt it sort of, he was trying to get a one-up position to start with. So I know something way more than you do. You're going to feel like you don't know, and kind of, you know, look up to me in that way. So yeah, he did that at the beginning of his vows, which didn't sit so well with me.
But he did it.
I thought it was romantic, but you know.
Because it's funny that he did it, but he did it, but he didn't then translate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah, it seemed like the obvious thing to then translate it. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it does sort of play into Peggy's idea that she certainly had at the beginning of a Disney prince who's, you know, Mr. Right, who's tall, dark, handsome, all this sort of stuff, that she'd always, like, quite cliched image that she had of her future husband. Mm. Their values seem slightly misaligned, if values is the right word.
But saying that, so I'm married, and we and my husband watch Maths. So after that episode with the values, we actually did it as well. Right. And it was a mess. So I now have a new appreciation for, like, the differences. But yeah, those are key things, like, was it children and sex that were just in completely different places?
Yes.
And it feels like there's a real difference in how they both view sex as well in the kind of yesterday's episode. Like, it feels like there's a lot of tentativeness for Peggy, whereas for him, it's a real priority for him. So I don't know. Yeah, that's going to be interesting for them to navigate.
Yeah.
Well, I think from what we've seen so far, we feel like George has just been going along with everything Peggy says. If she says, I want kids, he's gone, oh, well, you know, now I think about it again, I kind of want kids. That's surely dangerous, isn't it, in the long term?
Yeah, it's like, what do you want, dude? Like, what is your boundaries as well? Because then she could then end up leading the whole relationship without much input from him. Yeah. He's just going along with it.
And I don't think she really wants that, because she kind of picked up on that in the last commitment ceremony on the couch. She was the one that sort of said, I feel like sometimes he just changes his mind too quickly. She was a bit skeptical about it.
Yeah.
So I don't think she really wants someone who's just going to default to her all the time and not say what they do really want. I think she wants that kind of authenticity from him.
Yeah, because again, how can you feel safe with somebody who just says yes to everything that you agree with? Yeah. I could say, let's go bungee jump, and you're like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Like, who's going to be the person that's going to put in the boundaries here?
Yeah.
Have you tried any of the other tasks? Have you tried stargazing with your husband?
We have done it once, like, ages ago, because we saw it in a movie. We saw it in this really cute movie, and we was like, okay, let's do it. And it was kind of awkward at first. But then it was kind of like, oh, like, your eyes are actually, like, more brown than I thought they were. It was really interesting. Have you done it? Have you done anything?
We talked about doing it last night, didn't we?
We talked about doing it last night, and then we bottled it.
Like, no, that'll be awkward. Let's not
do it. It'll be too, even just talking about doing it, you were really giggling.
Yeah, I was giggling. Let's have a cup of tea instead.
Yeah, we thought about, well, we do that, we hug a bit.
Yeah.
So that was all right. But we should do the stargazing for the purposes of content.
I mean, we'll do Yes Week. I think that would be great to have, like,
yeah,
maybe that's what George needs. He needs to be the one that does the asking, and then I don't know who because he's already saying yes to everything, but maybe it should be the other way around, that Peggy has to say yes,
right? So yes, yes week.
I would worry that he would take that to too much of an extreme, given last night's episode.
And that's interesting you said that, because I felt this that Peggy doesn't trust him, because she kept saying when they had the box of toys, I think she says, I can't remember how she worded it, but she's like, I'm a bit worried that he's going to just, you know,
right, yeah, too far. Yeah, I know. I can't remember the wording either, but I know what you mean. Yeah, that he's going to suddenly go like too far, which he does have a propensity to do, certainly in what he says. Mm. I mean, you know, if he likes rimming, he likes rimming. What can you do? But he knows that she's probably not on this on that page. So he should maybe have brought it up in a more tactful way. I don't know how you do it more tactfully.
To be fair, I think it was the was it Charlie's card which said, yes, "Would you prefer?"
Oh, that's right. Anus? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he was very keen to tell her his answer.
Yeah.
Because I think she sort of said, no, I don't really want to know.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's the opposite. So he was straight in there with his answer.
Yeah, I am 100% anus. Not me, I'm saying
it. It's interesting news. You learn a lot about your own marriage when you watch Maths.
You do.
So does your husband enjoy watching it then?
Oh, God, he loves it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it. He was someone that I watched, I think, one of the Australian seasons, and he was like, I'm not watching that, blah blah, and then he started to kind of come in and be like, what's happening here. So he loves it, and he actually enjoys the American one as well, so I leave him to that one.
Oh wow, he's a proper I mean, we do a podcast about it. We don't even watch the American one. So what have your views been on Nathaniel and Ella's journey so far?
I think it's been I don't even know a word to really explain their journey. It's like, I don't really know what to expect each episode. Because like yesterday they had the intimacy moment of the staring.
Yeah, yeah.
Eye gazing. And then the hugging, which felt really tender. Mm. But it feels like the thing that's missing is, well, the thing that Nathaniel keeps saying that he needs, but also isn't initiating, is they want like a deeper conversation to get to know each other on a deeper level. So I mean, I wish there was a task that could help them do that. Mm-hmm. One thing that really frustrated me actually was last week when he was given that task of writing a letter to tell her something deeper about himself, but he ended up talking about her.
Mm,
yeah,
he wasn't getting from her.
Yeah, what I want you to know about me is that you don't know enough about me.
Yeah. So he really avoided answering that, sharing something with her that she didn't know. He really avoided doing that by kind of putting it back on her.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because there's a point. With all of these things, there's a balance where, yeah, you want to have the deeper conversation. But then we look at this new couple, JJ and Bianca. Well, like last night's episode, she's saying, I can't live without you. And it's been a week. And that she's, you know, getting into quite serious territory. And he's clearly, and she knows he's not into it. So why are you having the serious chat so soon, you know?
Mm. And I guess, maybe I wonder if that's because she was feeling so uneasy about where he stands, but doesn't want to admit it to herself. So she's kind of clutching at what's our future going to look like. And I can't, you know, she's almost doing the wrong thing because it's going to push him away even more, but that's her way of trying to get some kind of security or safety.
Yeah. I think the more I think about it, the sort of similarity there with Ella and Bianca wanting the kind of affection and the guys are just not quite there yet and want to take it at their own pace, but they're not giving anything to the women, it looks like.
And I think maybe that there's something about as well about gender there as well, because I think maybe traditionally we assume that the man is the one that's like should be making all the physical moves and should be, you know, like giving all their attention to the woman. And so now it's like these women that are then having to wait for the men to be physically intimate with them. I mean, I think there's something about it bashes then their insecurities of why is this man not pursuing me the way that tradition tells me that men should pursue me.
Yeah.
And it's my husband as well. There's something, yeah, I think there's something, an added dynamic of it being the men that are being resistant and being withdrawn sexually. Oh, so this is what me and my husband were saying, was that in the real world, if he went on a date with somebody and he didn't like them, it looks like he would just ghost them. Whereas in this situation, he can't ghost his wife. Like, they've got to see it through to wherever. And so he's at this kind of dilemma where he now has to actually communicate that he doesn't like someone, and maybe he's never had to do that before. And so even yesterday, he kind of avoided it. He was just like, oh yeah, you don't look like the girls that I usually date, but you're a good looking girl, or whatever he said. But he did actually say, I'm having a difficult time with my attraction to you, or I'm still working out my attraction to you. He completely avoided that. So then she still hasn't got quite the message. It's not been clear enough.
Yeah, he also did the thing of saying that, and now you're putting pressure on me, you're actually, you're going to be at fault for ruining things going forward.
Yeah.
He's put her in a bit of a bind there. Like,
you're the problem, not me. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a fair bit of that this year, isn't there?
Well, maybe you should have done a Brad and said, well, I'll allow you to make your own mistakes, and then when you learn from them, you'll know it's
you. Make your own mess. Yeah, that was very parental, that, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. And the big one I wanted to talk to you about, Terrence and Portia. Because we shared a reel that you put up that I thought was really, really interesting. Because, well, first of all, before we get to all the conflict and how do you manage conflict in a relationship, what the hell's happened with them? How are they suddenly now, like, loved up?
Mm. Yeah, well, it's really annoying because I feel like the producers don't show us, like, the build-up of, like, how did we get to the good bit? Like, how did that happen? And show me more. Like, I want to see, like, we want to learn. So, yeah, I don't know what happened. I wonder if, like, they've taken a step sexually, because there seems to be, like, a lot of, like, playfulness happening between them, which is really cute.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something like that's happened.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they were quite physically relaxed with each other, but physically close as well, which we haven't seen before. That was a big switch when we saw them in the car.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, they're close. His hands on her leg, like, whoa, they were miles apart last time we saw them. Yeah. I wondered that if something had happened.
She was accepting his apology with absolute insincerity. So this is what I want to ask, because I found all this stuff really interesting. Like, should he have apologized? Because in my opinion, the only reason to apologize there is because you feel like you're meant to and you're being the bigger person. But actually, I think sometimes, like, anger is the correct response. Like, she was being childish about that whole thing about the spoon.
I think his frustration was valid, but I think it's the use of how he expressed that. So calling someone childish is a criticism on them as a person, rather than on what's caused you to feel frustrated. So he could have said, I mean, there's such a silly argument. Why won't you? What's happening that you won't take my spoon? What do you need? Or it's a clean spoon. Talk me through what it is that you can't have this spoon. And actually, I feel frustrated that you won't take this spoon. Mm-hmm. Could have said that, but he said, you're childish, you're the problem, basically. You know, it's you as a person that is the problem. And I think that's where it then really heated up, because she felt attacked. So I think it's okay to express anger, but it's important that we don't criticize the person. We can criticize the problem and what's happening in between us that we need to work out, but don't criticize the character of the person or who they are or how mature they are. It's the same thing with Brad. It's like, you're emotionally immature. Okay, great, thanks. How does that help our relationship? Like, what is a thing? I kind of say it to my clients of, like, if you and your partner, if you have a ball in the middle of you and that ball has a label or word on it, what is the object in the middle? What is the thing that is getting in the way of you connecting with each other? Is it that you want more time? Is it that you want more affection? Is it that you want more clarity? In Terrence and Portia, it's probably like respect or connection or safety. That's, there's something there that's like, they find it hard to feel seen by each other. She wants to know that he will go get a clean spoon for her if she needs one. And he wants to know that she's not going to like reject when he offers something to her. So yeah, it's like, But when you're attacking each other, you can't then see what the problem, the actual core problem is and what you actually need in the relationship.
And we've spoken about, like, was Portia encouraged to apologize to him in that moment as well? If she was, it wasn't shown, and we suspected it maybe because the narrative is at that point that Portia's the villain. She's been shown as being childish, and Terence is being quite reasonable, so they wouldn't want to show Portia apologizing. If we'd have seen that, I think it would have gone some way to help explain the position that they're in now.
The difference that we've seen. Yeah,
I agree. It could have been posed that, okay, you've both done things that have been painful to each other. So, Portia, what do you take accountability of? What can you apologize for? And Terence, what do you take accountability for? And what could you apologize for? And then it would have been nice, equal, even ground as well.
Yeah, I do wonder if we just didn't see that. Just thinking about the experts and how they approach it, we don't often see it as being balanced, but I would suspect that it's usually pretty balanced.
The last two couples who we haven't spoke about yet, Arthur and Laura and Luke and Jay. Obviously Luke and Jay are going well. I don't know where he's been, but he's been ill, so we haven't seen him for a little while. I think the big thing is Laura and Luke, some kind of conflict that's brewing there between them. And, you know, I've speculated, does Laura remind Luke of people who have maybe talked down to him before? And it's a lot of speculation on my part, but what do you think of the interactions between them?
I think, I agree. I think it's what happened in both ways. I think that Luke reminds Laura of people that have spoken down to her, and then Laura reminds Luke of people that have felt that they're better than him.
Right.
So I think there's like a projection happening on both sides. And so it's led to this real big conflict of, them both feeling like they're not seen by the other, or feeling like they're being, disrespected by the other. I think that's kind of what might be happening. And this whole kind of Chelsea boy comment being the kind of, the fuel in the fire for it.
Yeah, it seems a strange thing to me, because everyone's most extreme things in their personality or their request for a partner are then exaggerated again by the program. Like, Laura doesn't really seem like the person that we saw on episode one. But Luke still seems fixated on that a few weeks in. And again, we don't get to see everything. He spent a lot more time with him than we have. But it just seems that there's a deeper thing there.
I think what would be great is, they do that challenge where, I don't know if it's the UK one or the Australian one, but where you go and get feedback from someone else in the group.
I think they do that later on. Yeah,
I think that they should like go and have coffee together. And it could either be great or it could absolutely be monstrous. But maybe it's something about having time together where they can actually unpack that, the projection that I'm putting onto you is not fully real. It's not fully, you don't deserve all this projection. Yes, you are saying you are putting this stereotype on me, but let me show you that stereotype is not true. Like, I am just Laura, I am just Luke. So they need to spend some time together, I think.
Yeah, see if they can find something that they can connect over and that they can see each other as more than just that one thing.
It's interesting, you've mentioned a few times that the tasks that are actually useful, because sometimes I look at them and think, oh God, they've got 36 episodes to fill, they need to get them to do something. But it sounds like a lot of these tasks are actually beneficial. One I'd like to ask you about, though, is I kind of want them to bring it into the UK one. I don't know if we're going to get it. Is the ranking one where they say who's the hottest?
Oh my gosh.
Right. How
do you think there is any value in that task for them as couples?
I think
for the audience.
I think it's really valuable in showing everyone's red flags. That's the only value. Yeah, I think it's interesting because in the Australian one, when there's been someone that's done it like in a way that's just been so disrespectful, they're usually the ones who are just like, this is not the guy for you. This is not the person at all.
There was Shannon last year who put Caitlin like sort of one and a half, sort of second-ish, and then stood there looking at it for a minute. He was just like, nah, I can't. And he had to move her down to fourth.
That's so bad. It literally broke my heart watching that. I felt so bad for her.
It was awful.
It's amazing TV, though.
The only similar-ish one we've had so far is when Luke and Jay had to rank the couples in terms of most to least genuine. And I remember saying to you, I do think that's a bit mean, because they were then in a position where they had to, you know, judge essentially everybody else's relationship in front of everybody else. So that felt as though, okay, is that designed as a task in a helpful way, like you've said, the hugging and the stargazing, or is it designed for some other purpose?
Yeah, because it's kind of creating in a hierarchy, because firstly, why were they picked to do that? You know, is it because they're a strong couple? And then they get to align themselves at the top, and then, you know, and then look at the friction that happens amongst all the couples because of it. Mm. And there's some that are like, oh yeah, I don't care, but obviously they do care. You know. So yeah, definitely think that's more for the drama entertainment aspect than for the actual relationships.
Yeah. And you can't not care. Yeah. Which is the thing that was happening.
Don't seek out external validation.
This is the thing that was happening between Shona and Brad, wasn't it? Is he was kind of judging her for caring and using it as a bit of a stick to beat her with. We shouldn't care about this, so you're not as far along in your journey as me, because I don't care, I'm rising above it. But isn't it a natural thing, especially in that situation, to care about that opinion of others in the way that Shona did?
I thought, just adding to that, like, one thing that was really sad for me was that so many people were watching that interaction, but no one actually said anything. Whereas I think in Australian seasons that I've seen, there's more of a sisterhood, and there is more of like someone, at least one person will stand up and be like, you're chatting crap, don't talk to her like that, or whichever. But she literally just had to, she had no one to back her in that moment. But I don't think they knew how to, because she hasn't made any real connections with them.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if that's because at that point they didn't really know each other as well, because she'd spent so much time with Brad. Again, you know, just he's isolated her, she's isolated herself as well.
Yeah.
But hopefully things are starting to turn a corner. Yeah, the honesty box. So you think Luke and Jay were chosen for that honesty box specifically because they're a strong couple?
I think they were chosen specifically because they have no drama in their couple. So they kind of ask them a question to bring the drama to their couple. I think it's more like that, like, oh, they're smooth sailing. Let's like add a bit of waves.
You might not want to answer this question. I was wondering if there was an individual from Maths that you could have as a client, who might that be?
In this season?
Any season, I guess.
This is just so selfish, but I think I just would have so much fun with is it Kasia from last
Kasia,
time?
Kasia, you're right.
I just think she'd be really, really fun to work with, and just her energy would just be just awesome.
Yeah, I remember. I feel like we sort of didn't really get to know her so much. I remember them going out for drinks with his friends. For some reason, she ended up saying, "Look, I can get Willy, all kinds of Willy." She seemed like definitely an interesting character.
I think she'd have had some gems if we'd seen a bit more of her, wouldn't she?
Yeah. Well, but who in, from this series, though, would you like to?
From this series, I would love to work with Ella. Just right. Because I think I find it really interesting, like, her current journey and this thing of, like, you know, she had to spend most of her adolescence and early adulthood transitioning and becoming the person that she is, but she now doesn't know who she is. And just having that space to then, you know, fill up her self-esteem so that she doesn't need it from other people, so that she can, like, get it from herself. I think that would be an awesome journey to be a part of. So yeah, I think it would be Ella for me.
Oh, interesting. Thank you very much. This has been really interesting. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Thank you. It's been really interesting and insightful to talk to you. I think what Shauna started to use the word enlightening a lot, hasn't she? That conversation was enlightening. So I think that is true about this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Your book, Real Talk, is available in all good bookshops and Amazon, obviously. Everyone gets it from Amazon.
Good old Amazon.
Yeah.
Tasha Bailey, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.